Sky Blue Fans TV. For the fans, by the fans.
Very good evening to you. My name's Ken Stewart. Welcome to Sky Blue Fans TV. On what was a very disappointing weekend for us all around, really, after Friday night's massive disappointment, which I can only describe as a nightmare, losing 3-0 at home to Preston. But we have got the FA Cup to look forward to on Monday, and we're going to discuss all things Preston and all things Maidstone in this show tonight. We're going to bring our guests in. We've got some guests on tonight to do just that. And we've also got a Maidstone fan who's going to come on and talk a little bit about his club and try and tell us things probably we don't quite know about Maidstone, because not many of us have known much about them. So let's bring in the guests for tonight. Claudio, good evening.
Ah, good evening.
Good evening. How are we? You all right?
I was about as slow as De Silva then, wasn't I?
Okay, any slower than that, I don't think. Disappointing on Friday, but we're going to talk about all that. And it's just annoying because Saturday you have to sit back and watch all the rest of the results come in, and you can't do much about it, can you, when you don't win? And luckily, I think a few of the games went for us, didn't they, results wise?
And that's why it's more frustrating, isn't it? Because you see those results come in, you're thinking, oh, we could have been in a really good place, but there you go.
Yeah, that's it.
There's going to be some more of those twists and turns to come, I think.
Long way to go. It's not over yet. Chris Baker, he's another regular. He's been on a few times now, Chris. You're clocking up the appearances.
Yes. Love coming on. Wish it could have been after a more positive result. I'll try not rant too much.
hopefully we can put that right tomorrow night, all going well. We're hoping that anyway, but there you go. We're FA Cup, isn't it? We're all looking for a reaction tomorrow night, and hopefully, you know, we'll get it, because we're all so disappointed. I think it's a big shock, Claudio, when we do lose a game now, isn't it? Because nobody expects it.
Well, it doesn't happen very often, does it? So, no. You know, it's...
That's two defeats in, what, 18, is it?
17 matches, yeah. 17
matches. Yeah. So that's not a bad record.
It's frustrating because we knew it's a bogey team, isn't it? But I mean, it's not like the same team plays them every time. You know, it's like a historical thing. And we've got teams like Barnsley who have never won in Coventry in 100 years. So, I mean, it happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I just feel, got to this end of the season, it was just a disappointing show, wasn't it? All round, basically, from the start. When you look at the first few minutes, it reminds me of I have to go on some construction courses for safety, and they show you a video right at the beginning where what can happen, what escalates from somebody doing something wrong, and it gets worse and worse. And it's our kickoff. Somehow it goes out for a throw-in. It's our throw-in. Somehow they get a corner. And then they score a really soft goal where neither keeper or our defender cover themselves in glory. And we're one down in a minute. And you kind of think, oh dear, this is a long evening straight away.
Yeah, I don't think we ever recovered from that. I think from minute one to minute, 94, 95, how many minutes we played, I don't think we ever looked like we were going to be in the game or get back into the game. You know,
And it was nervous from the start, wasn't it? And it was, I think we discussed off air, we were talking about the selection as well, which surprised a lot of people. We kept a clean sheet, changed the defence. I don't know. It was strange all round. Strange all round.
I for one, I mean, okay, I expected probably Wilson to keep his place maybe after a clean sheet. But I was certainly very surprised that Liam Kitchen didn't play against a big, strong, physical Preston team. He's a big, strong, physical player, Kitchen, so you'd want him in there, surely. And Bidwell is another one. I'm not just saying that because De Silva had a bad game. They all had a bad game. But I'd have thought Bidwell, with a bit more experience and a bit taller, if you like, a bit more physical, would have been in against them and maybe played De Silva against Maidstone on the Monday. Maybe he got his selection wrong. Do you think he got selection wrong?
Well, I suppose after 90 minutes, you could say he did. But I'm a bit surprised because he was... I got the impression they were really prioritising this league match. But that defence didn't look like... That's not our first choice defence, is it, for a four-man defence?
No.
You know, that isn't... You don't expect Jay De Silva to play in that team or even Binks in the four-man defence. So I was surprised. And, I mean, I said last week we're running out of midfielders and we definitely are now. You know, and yeah. I don't know whether or not in January we should have tried to get a couple of loanees in or what, you know, but it's too late now, isn't it? That's gone, so we've got to make do what we got. But it was just disappointing. It's no other way.
In hindsight, now we've got another injury as well. We'll talk about Sakamoto and his horrific injury later on as well. Now we're missing him as well, which is going to be a bit of a blow. We haven't got really many other bodies that we can bring in. Obviously, in the midfield with Eccles and Latibiaen, it didn't really work, did it, against Preston?
No, I mean, it's just too slow, isn't it?
Basically. Yeah.
I mean, I think our team is lacking in pace anyway. We need players who can turn things around a lot quicker going forwards. And there was times on Friday where Latty and Josh, they get the ball, but they're not really looking to drive forward at all. That's kind of depending on other players to do. And you want your midfielders to get up there and do stuff as well. Mm. The amount of times we broke forward and there was nobody up there.
No.
I was watching games at the weekend, not yesterday, and the amount of teams who were around us, when they break forward, they seem to all break forward and they get bodies in the box. We just don't seem to do that. I mean, the big plus for me was probably Sims on the night. I think he battled well. At times, he looked like the player that we want him to be. I felt sorry for him, really. I felt like he's on his own.
Yeah. To be honest, he did win a few headers, Sims. He didn't do too bad at all. Good evening, Vicky. We'll come to you in a minute. Chris, what's your thoughts on the, on the nightmare of Friday evening? I mean, team selection. Did he get it right? Obviously, he didn't get it right. But
No, he didn't get it right. Why Binks is playing over Kitchen against Preston is...
Which is exactly what I... Yeah.
They
are a big physical team. I mean, you know what Preston are like because we've played one enough times. They're big physical. They all play the same way. And they're classic at the dark arts, aren't they? They do pulling and pushing. And then you need your strong players in there, don't you?
Yeah, you do. But that's the point I took away from. I mean, we're genuinely time wasting from the 10th minute, which I thought was pathetic. Take away from how bad our performance was, and I don't want to use this as an excuse what I'm about to say, because we were awful, we did get the selection wrong, and we probably rightfully lost the game on the night. But it still doesn't change the fact that from very early on in the first half that we were struggling to deal with their press. But every time we did actually manage to break their press, and it looked like we might come, it hauled us down. In the law of the game, it's an automatic booking. The ref didn't flash his card once, so we could have stamped that out. So we never had a chance to get a in the game because they stamped out all the time and they're constantly rolling, whether subtle fouls or dirty challenges. And the net result is they've suffered another serious injury to a player because the refs cannot control games of football. You know, it's the second midfielder now, potentially out to the end of the season. It happened with Alan against Sheffield, was it Sheffield Wednesday, when he's took the arm bone, it's broke his orbital bone. The refs, I'm sorry. They need the protection for them needs to end now. If they're going to have a performance like that, the manager should be able to come out and tell the public what a disgrace they thought the ref was without genuine recourse. You know, you can't respect a ref when he refs a game like that. I mean, what was their number 10? Mads Frank Jensen hauled right down in the second half in the corner, in the far corner, but right by us, by Singer's corner. And then he gets up and starts gesturing like not in good way towards the Cov fans. pretty much in sight. So got a few people are trying to jump on the pitch at this point, and the ref just walks over and ushers them away. Why is he not booked?
Yeah,
you know, it's beyond belief. So, you know, if we've been beaten fairly, I'll be the first one to say congratulations, fair play, well done. But what Preston did on Friday night goes far beyond game management when they're doing it from whatever minute in the first half and they're doing it that excessively, it becomes cheating in my book. And if there's any justice in the world, they're not going to finish in the playoffs. I do not want a team like that thinking it's acceptable to play that way and reap the benefits of getting promoted because of it. It's disgusting.
Yeah. I don't mind losing a game, but when you lose to an average team like that, they're not particularly great. They were good at what they did. But I think we gave them all three goals we gave them, didn't we, really, on a plate?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Yeah. Like, they haven't earned the win. We've handed it to them. I think so. It's like, what's the saying? Oh, you know, you've not won the game, we've lost it.
Yes.
That's how I feel about Friday. And, you know, people say, oh, it's just sour and bitter. No, because I accept the fact that we were poor and we've lost because of that reason. But it still does not excuse their tactics and how they went about things and the fact that it's resulted in another injury. I mean, some fans were saying, oh, well, he's not even touched Sakamoto. He does. He nudges him in the back before he turns his back.
Yeah, you know? Well, we'll have a look at that in a bit. Yeah. We've got a video of it, so we'll get a decision on what we all think, whether it was a foul or not. We'll have a look at it. Let's get Vicky's views on the nightmare on Friday's nightmare. Did you miss the first goal?
Yeah, I missed the first goal. Yeah, just got stuck in traffic on the way to the ground, so missed the first goal. But I still thought at that stage it might be okay and we might come back into it. But because when I walked into the ground, we actually were attacking, so it looked like we might be in the game. And everyone was like, oh, we're already losing. I was like, oh dear. And then it just went from bad to worse, didn't it, unfortunately?
Yeah, I mean, were you surprised at the team selection? You know, no Kitchen in there, no Bidwell against a strong physical.
Well, especially Bidwell. I think especially Bidwell. I think when we spoke about it on Thursday, we said that we thought that would be the way it'd go, like Bidwell defensively. But so I was especially surprised with that. I mean, I prefer Kitchen over Binks, but I think to a degree, Binks did come in when obviously Kitchen got sent off. And so I suppose there's some degree of argument about whether like how that works and what Robin decides to do about who he plays. And I didn't think that Binks was the worst player on the night anyway. So, but yeah, definitely I was surprised about the Bidwell decision. The Silver, unfortunately, just had an absolute nightmare in that first half, didn't he? Like, nothing could go right for him at all. To be honest, I was surprised he lasted until half-time because I thought at some stage that Robbins might take him off for his own.
It was just shocking all around, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, just the way we weren't at it from minute one. You know,
it was just one of those games when everybody was just not at it really. I mean, I suppose if you're going to get able to do that all in one game and against Preston, who we probably lose against anyway,
if you're going to have a shocking game, let's get it out of the way ASAP. Yeah. And we had one against Stoke City, if you remember.
Last season. Every season there's one or two, isn't there? Every season. Yeah. Also, I mean, like, Yeovil go back a few seasons. I mean, relatively decent season.
Yeah, I mean, look at Southampton. They've lost the last three games, haven't they? Surprising everybody. Claudio, we've got quite a few comments coming in.
We have, indeed. Right, evening to everybody. There's loads of evening alls. But I'm going to get to the
evening all.
Evening all, yes. Okay. Thank you to Jamie. That's Gar87 because he brought us all a coffee, which is great. So thanks for that.
Thanks, Jamie.
Yeah, thanks for that. Right, where's Sky Blue? Let's be honest, we were absolutely awful Friday. Mark Cunningham, I hope the gaffer kicked butts after Friday's debacle.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, he wasn't very happy, was he? Gordon Tulliart, I put our downturn in form is down to the fact that all the other teams improved their teams in the January window. We didn't. It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because you don't know what funds are available. That's the trouble, isn't it?
The thing is, you say West that, Sky Blue, every other team other than Preston that's in the sort of playoff push didn't win either this weekend, did they? So all those teams that strengthened didn't do any better than we did, really.
No.
So it works. And some of them are taking a massive gamble. Like a team like Hull, if they don't go up, that's a massive gamble what they've done in the transfer window, isn't it? They're gonna suffer for that next season if they don't actually secure a promotion. And I think that's a risky business this season, because there's a lot of strength in that playoff, isn't there? Like with the likes of, you're looking at probably like Leeds or Southampton are going to be one of those playoff teams to gamble to make the playoffs when you're then going to have to try and beat one of those to get promoted. It's a massive gamble for me.
But
personally,
it's more of an issue that we've got so many injuries in midfield. I think that's probably more of a reason than
I think that's probably more of a reason than others have strengthened. Yeah.
Got a comment from West Sky Blue. Collins in for Wilson as soon as possible. And then he says, shows how poor we were when Sims looks good. That's a bit harsh.
Well, that's him. Sims wasn't the man of the match. If I had to pick anybody. Yeah, I agree with you.
Carl Holly, evening everyone. We will win tomorrow night. I don't think we will be in the playoffs at the end of the season. Our squad depth isn't big enough to compete with the big boys. Ian Courts, too much long ball Friday. Like Claudia said, Sims was on his own. I think the problem we got is, we need midfielders who come looking for the ball and prepare to turn and go forward with it and not just knock it straight back to the defenders.
Yeah.
Sausage Unite, Hoyle, for the love of God, can we please clear our lines when needed? Robbins has to take the blame for how we set up. As for Eccles on corners, we're all lost for words. The silver is shocking. I've got to say, the second goal, just tap it out for a corner. I mean, I don't know what was... Everybody in the ground thought, didn't they? Why have you turned inside into the 6-yard box?
Maybe you got to blame the keeper there as well. He should have said, commanded it and said, look, get out.
You can't blame keeper for that. No, you can't.
Really, he dallied, didn't he, at the end of the day? He dallied on the ball and he should have cleared it. He had the ball under control at one stage and he got pinched, didn't he? He got pinched inside the 6-yard box, which you should never allow.
If in doubt, Rosad always.
End of the day,
he had
under control. So
it's what they teach you in Sunday League, though. Like if you've got the ball in your box and you've got your back to the field, you don't turn inwards towards your own goal. You've always got to be heading away from your own goal. Like I used to play right back in Sunday League, and that was always a message from my Sunday League manager: you don't turn back towards your goal. If you've got your back and you can't get the ball out, then you hoof it out. It's such standard stuff that he's...
Any more messages, Claudio?
Right, this is Carl Holly. One day we'll beat Preston, just don't know when it will happen.
One day.
We'll hope it.
This is from Gordon Tulliard. Who decides Eccles was the one to take corners? How long would it take the management to realise he is awful and cannot take them?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of stick about that. I mean, he just struggled on his corner. I don't know what... I noticed when Thorpe plays...
He took over the
corners, didn't he? But obviously he was on the bench. He came on later on. And then we used to have Hamer, didn't he? He used to take our corners before that. So Eccles has probably been pushed onto it where, you know, he doesn't really get it high enough, does he, into the box, into the danger area sometimes. He struggles for whatever.
I'm not even sure we've got a routine, to be honest. It doesn't look like one, does there? And also, you're going about corners. I'm not sure we've got any kind of routine at throw-ins either. I don't understand why there's no urgency at times.
Yeah.
I just feel, you know, we're in a position of ascendancy sometimes in their half. We get a throw-in. First man gets the ball, just get on with it. But we don't. We wait for everybody to come back. It was all a bit laboured, I thought.
The thing that concerns me about throw-ins is we've got players on the pitch that, when we signed on with Torres, we've been able to take a long throw-in. When you're playing both Wright and Sims, there's really no excuse to not be throwing one into the mixer when you're that end of the pitch. But we never do it.
I was watching the Sheffield United game earlier against Wolves, and they've got some bloke that does a really long throw, and they threw a couple into the Wolves penalty box and really caused some trouble. And I was just thinking, why do we never do this? It's just crazy.
Yeah. I just say something. There's a message here, and something flashed up earlier. Scott New Sam, any reason why you aren't live on Facebook tonight? We don't know. It flashed up when we went live that there was an issue with Facebook, so we don't actually know what it is. We can't deal with it while we're live.
Just seeing an issue with Facebook. I'm not sure what happened there, but for some reason, if we're not going on Facebook tonight, it's not going out live on there. So we'll have to go
but on YouTube.
As normal. We'll have to try and correct that as soon as we can, but we don't know what the reason is, to be honest. We just got a little message come up on the screen. So,
have we got Guess the Gate for tomorrow as well?
We've got Guess the Gate. I was about to say a bit more bad news. Unfortunately, the Preston... this will go down well. The Preston fan who was on last week or on Friday, should be on Thursday. He wouldn't guess the gate, believe it or not.
He got it spot on. He got it absolutely spot on. I know. What more do you want?
So Joey, the Preston fan, who would be delighted to receive a Sky Blue Fans TV mug, I'm sure. So we have on the air for tomorrow night. So get your guesses in, guess the gate, win yourself a mug. It's not far off a sellout, I don't think. So it's not many tickets. I was looking on the thing. There's not many seats together left, I don't think, from what I can see. I mean, I might be wrong, but I think that. I mean, they're bringing 4,800. They've sold theirs, and then we've sold quite a few. There's not many. When I looked on the map thing. Wasn't many left, so I don't know. Be interesting to see what the gate's going to be.
4,800. I'm getting uncomfortable flashbacks to Wrexham.
Well, we'll be talking to a Maidstone fan after the break as well, so I'm sure he can fill us in with all his information about his team and stuff.
So, what are your guesses for the gate then? What's yours, Ken?
My guess, I'd say I'm going to go for 25,900.
Vicky?
24,800.
Chris?
As Ken's just said, it's nearly a sellout. I'm going to go 27,400.
And I'm going to go 27.
I said nearly. I didn't say four.
Yeah. I'm going to have faith our fans will turn out the FA Cup for once. I'm only joking, it's tongue in cheek.
And we will have we've got another competition as well in the second half of the programme. We've got guess the grounds. We've got a couple of grounds to show you. I just need your guesses in, please, as well. We'll throw a mug in that for that as well. Anybody gets that right, gets them both right, we'll get you a mug for guess the grounds as well. That's coming up in the second half. Any more messages? We'll try and keep on top of the messages, Claudio.
Righto. We've got Ian Courts, Milan. I was taking long throws at the start of the season. Done his back in, apparently, so doesn't take them now.
All right. Yeah, because we did have... He was a long throw expert, weren't he, if I remember?
He was. Carl Holly's gone for 29,480. Let's fill that stadium. Gutted I won't be there tomorrow night. Someone's put West Sky Blue. The official attendance wasn't what was in the big screen. Technical difficulties. Well, that's all we can go on, isn't it?
That's what they've announced, and we've got to go with that, haven't we?
Any pound the gate was not scanned, apparently. I don't know. I'll tell you what, the security. I've seen lots of stuff on social media saying that some parts of the ground, the security was ridiculously high. Yeah, when I turned up, the guy looked at me, went, "Yeah, okay, no search."
Yeah, you know what that happened to me? He didn't search me either. I wasn't at all.
No. And then they were moaning about the seating behind the goal. There was loads of people from Singer's Corner just walking across, going over the barrier and sitting behind the goal, which I thought they weren't checking anybody. So, I mean, that'll have to be sorted if they start selling that end up with lots of people in there. You can't have people just, you know, wandering across, really, because it's going to cause havoc.
Yeah. Do you think Singer's Corner might shift over if that becomes available to us for next season?
I think that's the idea, isn't it?
They want home fans behind both goals, don't they? I think that's the plan. Or Doug's plan, that is, I think. That's what he wants.
What do you think? A lot of the Singer's Corners want it to be the other way around, don't they? So that the away fans stay in that, next to them in that corner, and then the home fans up the other side of that behind the goal. That's what I've seen a lot of people on social media in Singer's Corner saying that they would prefer. Rather than we spread. I mean, the advantage of us spreading is that there's a lot of people that probably want to go to Singer's Corner that can't get there now because it's sold out. So if we expand by a few more blocks, probably we'll get some people that can then move into that area. Yeah. So I suppose it works both ways, doesn't it? Mm.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I was just on about the rest of the game quickly before we go to the ad break. Three bad goals. Obviously, they all played well. We struggled to get a man of the match. If I had to pick one, I'd probably agree with Claudio. I'd say Ellis Sims. Would you say that, Vicky?
Yeah. I thought he was the only one that could really come out with any decent amount of credit, or at least try it. And did a couple of nice layoffs as well to people. So I thought. You could tell that he's been in. You could tell that he's had two sort of relatively decent games with a couple of goals, and that he's sort of building on that. So that's a positive, because if he keeps on going in that direction, then hopefully we'll see the player that Robbins obviously thinks he's bought. So
three awful goals, Chris, weren't they? So we don't want to dwell too much on them, because we all know what we've all seen them probably, and we gave them on a plate really, and there's a catalogue of errors all through the pitch from the midfield all the way to the back. Man of the match for you, probably Sims again?
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say, I want to echo what obviously Vicky's just said, because I was at the Stoke game, and Sims was probably our best player in that game as well.
Yeah.
And obviously he's got his goal, a bit fortuitous against Plymouth. He scored again against Stoke, and he's putting a good shift on Friday, so things are going the right direction. I just think he's been a victim of that everyone expected this big superstar when we signed him, because he was coming from Everton and he had this reputation for when he played at Sunderland. And obviously obviously he scored a few goals in pre-season, but he's took time to find his feet. And, you know, because I feel like it probably hasn't happened quickly enough. So forgive me, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I've seen flashes of that throughout different periods throughout the season in certain games where there looks like there's a good player there. He just needs to be consistent together.
Yeah. Would you blame the first goal on the goalkeeper then? Would you blame Wilson for that, Chris?
No, I don't. I actually think Thomas is at fault. Well, sorry, I'll correct myself. I think Thomas is more at fault than what the keeper is. He should be strong. He shouldn't be bending over and allowing the Preston player to serve his back. When I was in the ground, I thought, okay, why aren't you coming for that, Wilson? When I've looked it back on the TV, the cross has gone in at such a height. I think that's why he stayed back, because he's going over his head. He can't come and claim it in the middle, so he would have always been backpedaling to try and come and get it like that, because it's coming at such a height. So I do think there's a reason why he has stayed back. So no, I think there's probably more fault with Thomas for that one.
Yeah. Claudio, would you blame the keeper for the first goal?
Oh, I still think he's got to come out and dominate. They don't now, though, do they?
No.
I think the zonal marking, I think the keeper just stays on his line most of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a comment here from Sky Blue, Sam, and I'll let him say it, because I agree with all this. All goals conceded were avoidable.
Yeah.
First is shocking marking, and Wilson should be coming off for the cross. Second should be cleared by De Silva, and third, poor defensive shape, gave ball away cheaply to Preston. It's like my lad said, they've scored three goals. They've not had to do anything to score three goals.
No,
I mean, just they had three shots in the first half, three efforts on target, all three went in. You know, and it just summed it up.
I was just hoping to get an early goal back. I still had hope. We have been scoring, haven't we? And it's the only game we haven't scored in the last, is it 20? We're scoring 20.
Well, that's what was disappointing, wasn't it? Because we were saying, at least we've still got 89 minutes to come back into this.
Yeah,
but there was nothing, was there, really? What I thought was worrying is when he starts bringing on Torp in the second half, he's meant to be injured. What's the point? You're 3-0 down.
Yeah.
What is the point of that? I
can understand Kelly coming on, which is understandable. But yeah, I was surprised. Thought, come on, to be fair. Vicky, would you blame the keeper for the first goal, which started the rot?
Well, I can't really answer that because I didn't see it.
Well,
I don't know.
So you haven't seen it? Well, basically, yeah, it was a cross coming. It was our, as Claudio said, it's straight from kickoff. It was our kickoff, went out for our throw-in. Somehow they won it back and the cross came over and looping over and sort of Wilson came out and then went back and then the guy just come in with a like a bullet header. That was it in the corner of the net. And a lot of people were still getting into the ground, to be fair. Quite a few people did miss it. Well, what I want to just talk about quickly is the Sakamoto injury. We've got a little video of it. Take a look at this. And is it a foul or is it Dark Arts of Preston? Or do you think Dark Arts or do you think it's not? Do you think it's fair play? Have a look at the video. And I'm sure a lot of people have seen it anyway. But we'll play it for you.
Have I got to find it?
Yeah, do you want me to find it? I can find it for you.
Put it on, Ken. I can't.
It's right at the back. The first
17 matches. As he and Thomas look to build a defensive partnership. Bobby Thomas has by and large been the first choice centre half for Coventry this season on the right. It's just been who's partnered him. Sakamoto went down under an aerial duel with Andrew Hughes. Sakamoto went airborne. Andrew Hughes tried to pull out of the challenge. In the end, Sakamoto flipped over the top of him. Did land heavily on his hip. Ball cleared by Wilson. Sakamoto climbing above the Welshman Hughes. Only to fall with a...
Looks bad, doesn't it? Looks terrible.
Yeah, you don't need to do much of a back to make somebody go over like that. If he stands still, he doesn't go over like that, does he?
The trouble, Chris made the point earlier about refereeing, and I think that's the problem I've been saying all season. Somebody's going to get hurt because referees just aren't protecting players enough anymore. Like game after game, we just see little things like that be allowed to go, and it was inevitable that at some point someone was going to get a nasty injury, and there's not enough protection for players. I mean, if that was a rugby match, that would be a red card for that because they were so hard on making sure that.
The Preston players obviously made contact with him. There's obviously some sort of force because if you jump up, you're not going to just go and come down on your back without any kind of help. It's just physically impossible to do that in the manner that he did. So there's obviously been contact somewhere. If he's pulled out of the challenge, that's automatically and made contact, it's automatically a foul. I think it was a deliberate foul. I think he wanted to stop him probably trying to nod it on.
Yeah.
And yeah, because they were doing it all game. It was, as Claudio mentioned off air, it was subtle. It was a subtle touch, but it was a deliberate touch. And net result is it looks like the rumour is he's fractured his pelvis. And I hope to God that comes out tomorrow night that that's not true. And it just turns out to be badly bruised and we can have him back before the end of the season. But the point is, this is the second player now in as many weeks that has a potentially serious injury because the refs can't control the game and because players are more interested in trying to bully and push players off the pitch rather than actually get the ball on the ground and play football, which I think the real kicker about Friday is Preston weren't a good team. You know, easily in the bottom three for me that I've seen at the CBS all season as to whether they're good or not. You know, there's teams we've beaten that were played far better when we beat them than what Preston played on Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, there's a comment there from Wayne Vaughan. The ref took a long time to call the medical staff on. Yeah. There was a bit of a delay, wasn't there?
No.
I don't know what that was. There was a bit of a delay for some reason.
The thing is, Sakamoto's been targeted since the Leicester game, since we were on Sky against Leicester. Yeah. He's been kicked everywhere he's been, hasn't he, really?
Yeah.
They hit him straight away.
Yeah.
So that's what happens. When you start, you know, when you start performing, you get noticed. He classes a danger man, you get marked. But the trouble is they're proper marking him at the minute.
Yeah. Sky Blue Sam says in rugby, that's a sin bin or a red card for a Preston player because it's reckless. and endangers another player, which I quite agree with, I think. I think we all... I thought... Well, I think, again, I thought the referee was poor, but that's no surprise to us at the last few minutes this season, has it? It's been terrible. But
just your control of the game was appalling. I mean, there was a stage in the second half where one of their players was pretending to be injured. They all went off for a drink. And it's just like, just messing them up. He's just messing them up. They're not taking them as they want to come back on.
Sorry, man.
Rob Nichols said in rugby there's a carer duty to the players, which is quite correct.
There is in football.
This seems to have forgotten about, doesn't it, unfortunately?
I just think what bothers me about Friday, if that had been a Preston player that happened to, the ref probably would have started the treatment himself before the medical staff come on. You might as well have put a Preston top on for how he ref that game.
Will King, good evening, Will.
Cough, for the win. I'm looking forward to being there. PUSB, yes, Will, we'll be happy. I could do you some of your products, Will.
Yeah.
If you'd like to sponsor this channel, more than welcome.
Please contact us.
We'd love to have you on board, Phil.
Wes, Sky Blue, Wes, don't agree. He says it wasn't a foul at all. Sorry. But, don't agree with that. I think it was a foul, yeah.
I think Wes needs an eye test.
There's another one. What's that other one? Alex Baker. Sacramento should have had some justice out there in that game. Correct. Yeah. Will King says if you PM him, we'll get some.
There you go, then.
Thanks, Will.
We've got to be a model, Claudio.
We'll go to the ad break in just a minute. We'll just finish this one off. So first goal didn't go in. It's a penalty. Thomas has done the same thing. Well,
I think the guy was just too strong for him. He wasn't backing it. I think wasn't he? It was pathetic.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Look, we're gonna move on. We got our Alex, our Mason fan sitting in the wings, waiting to tell us all about his club, which we're looking forward to because we don't know much about you. I'm sure we will come tomorrow night. We're going to have a short ad break and then we'll come back to Alex.
Sky Blue Fans TV. For the fans, by the fans.
Okay, very good evening to you all. Welcome back to Scarborough Fans TV. We've got a host of guests tonight. We've got Claudio, Vicky, Chris Baker, and we've got Alex. Good evening, Alex, a Maidstone supporter. How are you?
Good evening. Yeah, I'm very well. How are you?
Well, and welcome to the show. Tell us about your team. Tell us, because we don't know much about you, apart from you. We've seen you obviously beat Ipswich. We've seen a couple of clips of your games and stuff. You tell us how your season's been going, et cetera, and what players we've got to look out for, et cetera.
Okay, so Maidstone United are currently in the sixth tier of English football, which is called the National League South now, but I think a lot of people probably know it as the Conference South.
Yeah.
And only last year we were in the National League, which is formerly known as the Conference, but it was probably a season to forget. We got relegated. We're pretty much bottom of the National League for two-thirds of the season. And it just didn't, it wasn't a good season. But that is the season where George Ellacobe came into management and he kind of came down with us. And this season's been a complete turnaround in fortune. I mean, at the moment, we're currently just outside the playoffs. We have been in the playoffs for, majority of the season, but we just, a couple games postponed, and then our away form recently has been pretty poor. But yeah, you know, we're still hopeful for the playoffs, and of course we've got this magical cup run to hopefully continue tomorrow.
I mean, I bet you're in dreamland. I mean, did you go to Ipswich?
I did, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Honestly, best day of my life, probably. Yeah, absolutely incredible day. Got up there early in the morning, had a stroll around Portman Road. And yeah, I mean, just incredible scenes. I honestly still think about it to this day. I've got Lamar Reynolds' goal pinned on my Twitter page. Yeah, what a day.
And how long have you been supporting Maidstone?
Well, I grew up in Maidstone, lived there all my life. I'm fairly one of the younger fans. Really started going, and not until we got our ground in. So our ground at the moment is the Gallagher Stadium, and that opened in 2012. So really since then, I think my first game was, testing me a bit, but maybe 2013, I think. And since then, always been, I don't really follow Premier League or anything like that. The Stones or nothing, really.
You're a proper fan, and the lower leagues, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a second team or anything. It's just
And what's the sort of best stadium you've been to then in your league? What would you say, stadium-wise?
I think probably Yeovil, to be honest. Obviously former Championship side as well.
Yeah.
Shows you how far they've fallen since, you know, they're playing in the same league as us. But yeah, really, that's the best it gets down at the National League South. I recall some of the earlier stadiums we went to in the FA Cup, Chesham away. That was pretty much a park. They got one big stand at the end, but that's it. And then obviously our first game at Steyning, it's basically like a leisure park. So you know, playing there to Portman Road and now up to the CBS, it's incredible.
I watched your game against Ipswich. Your goalkeeper played had a great game, didn't he?
Lucas Kovalan. I mean, we're very lucky to have him, to be honest. He's definitely a level above where he is now, maybe even two levels above. I mean, he scored a famous header in the playoff final a couple of years ago for, I'm going to forget now. Can't remember who it was.
He looks good, and hopefully don't have a good game tomorrow night. Can't have another game like that, sure.
Well, you never know. I mean, he's pretty good. To be fair, he's probably been our most consistent in terms of performances. Like, he's bailed us out a lot of times in the league.
Who's your outstanding players this year then? Who stands out for you, and who we're going to look out for tomorrow night?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously Sam Corn. He's again, I think he's probably played about 90% of the games. He had a couple of suspensions, but his form lately has been incredible. I think since New Year, pretty much, he's basically got a goal contribution every other game. Obviously, he's scored three in a row in the FA Cup now. Lamar Reynolds, who scored the first goal for us at Ipswich. That was actually his first Maidstone goal, but in previous games he's contributed a lot to goals. He's obviously, you can see, he's quite fast. Who else? Sam Bone as well, another one who's pretty much in the starting lineup every week, consistent. You know what you're going to get for him. I would have said Paul Apaya, who also played for Ipswich, but he picked up a suspension against Avely in our previous league game, so I don't think he'll be there for commentary now. And I could probably go for each player in the team first and say why they could do something, but those three probably stand out for me.
Because obviously you haven't got a big squad. You had the player sent off the last week, didn't you? So he'll miss. That's the guy who's on loan from Leicester, isn't it?
So that'll be a big miss, because he's of real quality behind him. But, you know, we do have cover for him. But, yeah, as you say, not a huge squad. A lot of our current squad are actually cup-tied. Such is the nature of non-league. You're getting players in pretty much every other week who've at some point played in the cup. So it's quite hard to actually get a full squad of, you know, non-cup-tied players. But, yeah, we'll bring what we can and hopefully do the job.
And 4,800 tickets you sold, I believe?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Sold out. As soon as I went to general sale, they sold out.
Seen the queues.
Queues were unbelievable. I got down there at 7:30. There were already people there who'd been there since 5:30 in the morning. So, I mean, yeah, it just shows you how everyone's coming out in full numbers. I remember when the we were queuing up for the Ipswich tickets, there's the queue, I'm probably not exaggerating, about over a mile long of just people trying to get a ticket. And I think there was a good 1,000 or two got turned away because there just weren't any left.
And is it done on a first come, first serve basis? And all the, or we have a point system at our club, obviously, but you, I don't expect you to have a point system. But yeah. Is it done on the season tickets or people who bought tickets previously?
Yeah, so so obviously season ticket holders got priority, and then obviously there's some tickets that are just distributed to the players and family and staff through the academy. But then, yeah, in terms of the general sale, it's just a first come, first serve basis, which, yeah, obviously for a club our size, we don't really have the structure in place to do a point system. I mean,
you
can be you don't have to be a season ticket holder to go to at least 15 games a season, but on the day of queuing up, it doesn't matter. You should get there first. So,
and how many fans do you normally take away from home?
It varies, but I think, you know, on the lowest one that I can recall for this season, probably just over 150, and then. Some games, you know, Tunbridge away, which was our local derby, I think we probably took close to 800. So,
bit of a difference. And town will be quiet.
It will be.
There won't be many people walking the streets.
No,
but if they're not there, they'll be glued to the TV, I think.
Yeah.
Claudio, I think we've got a little bit of a quiz for you, Alex.
Oh, okay.
Mason. Claudio?
I just wanted to know before I do the quiz, how did Maidstone managed to get somebody like Paul Appiah on loan from Leicester? Because, to be honest, that guy would do a job in the Championship or League One.
Well,
it's kind of a fine, that is.
Yeah, well, I think we benefit a bit. So most of the clubs in our league are part-time, which basically means they train 2 evenings a week. We are the only one, well, us, Yeovil and a couple of others are really the only ones that do a full-time. So we train about 3 mornings a week. And I think that probably helps us get that caliber of player. You know, Leicester aren't going to let him go on loan somewhere if he's only doing 2 evenings a week, realistically. So I think that probably helps. And, yeah, I don't know, maybe the fact that, you know, we've got George and Craig behind us in the management team who are both ex-Premier League. So, you know, they probably know how to develop a player. And George himself was a centre-half and as is a player. So I think maybe that had a hand to play in it. But yeah, very lucky to have him. And yeah, the games he's played for us, he's served us well.
I must admit, when I heard he was sent off last week, I shouldn't be fist bumping, but I kind of was.
Well, after everything, I was furious. I mean, to lose him in the game is, yeah, it's not ideal, but we'll try and make it work.
Right, I've got a little quiz, Alex. Nothing too difficult.
I'll try my best.
Question 1. Which club, other than Maidstone United, were forced out of the Football League because of bankruptcy? This is fairly recent.
Is there a timeline on this?
Recent. Quite recent, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Because a lot of people forget that Maidstone were actually in the Football League back in the 90s.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah.
And, I can't recall. It's probably going to kick me when I see the answer.
I don't know who it is. Alex can't get it.
Go on then.
Is it Bury?
It is Bury.
Oh, Bury. Bury.
What were the new Maidstone United known as until 1994?
Oh, that's Maidstone Invicta. Yeah.
Yeah, that was... am I right in thinking that you restarted with the youth team?
Yeah, so the old Maidstone United went bust in 92, and then basically straight away the youth team, we got that into the senior leagues, known as Maidstone Invicta, and then it became Maidstone United in, can't remember, 1994,
Right, in which season did the new Maidstone United first enter the FA Cup?
God, well, it's kind of the... well, I'd just say 1992 when it or 93 when it reformed.
I've got 2002 and
03
season.
Okay, I'm miles off then. Oh, well, actually, yeah, that would make sense because of the league we were in. We had to start quite low in the Kent League, so we wouldn't have been able to qualify for the rounds back then.
You won like successive promotions, didn't you? You came back up quite quickly. It was
We did. I think we got relegated in like the season we reformed. Once we got into seniors, I think we got relegated, and then we won a few back to back. But though we had to start basically right at the bottom of the Kent League. So those leagues aren't even in the preliminary rounds. I think the equivalent today we'd get into is like the FA Cars or something. It would have taken us a few years to actually get to that stage, which, as you say, is probably about the 2000 era.
Right. In July 2012, Maidstone United finally moved into their new Gallagher Stadium with a friendly against which club?
That was Brighton,
That is correct.
Yeah.
Were you there?
I wasn't. But I remember all the noise about it in the town. I think it's 5-0. And Gus Poyle famously kicked off the game. So,
And last question: Paul Appiah, on loan from Leicester City and suspended for the FA Cup tie, started his senior career at which club?
Oh God, I think I was reading about this the other day. He didn't start at Leicester. No, it wasn't Ipswich, was it?
It was Aston Villa.
Aston Villa, that's it.
Oh, boom.
Here's a question. Was Alex just as disappointed as the Maidstone manager to get Coventry in the draw?
I mean, to be honest, at first I probably was because, put into context, that was our seventh. We played seven games, right? Beating Ipswich was our seventh game. Five of them were away. We'd had two, when you're a non-league side, you just want that big Premier League draw, right? And, we'd had the third round and the fourth round to draw a Premier League team. We didn't. So we thought, finally beating Ipswich, come on, this has got to be our time to draw that big Premier League team away. And, we're in the hat. Man City and us were like two of four teams left in the hat. So everyone was, hoping it would be Man City.
And well, we were hoping it wouldn't be Man City. We were.
For us, I think we go into it thinking, this could be our last game in the cup, so we want to make the most of it. And obviously, then to draw Coventry at first, could have been City, but it's one of them things where like you just reflect on it a bit, and then you realise, it's Coventry City. They're in the playoff finals last year. They're flying high at the moment as well. You guys probably talked about it, but you may or may not get playoffs this year. It's still a big tie. It's going to be pretty much the same attendance as Ipswich, I think, I've been reading. So, overall, still really happy with the draw and, just going to make a good day out of it, hopefully.
Well, we've spoken before, haven't we, Alex? And I said to you that I was delighted we got you because all I could think about was I wanted the weakest team in the draw. No disrespect, but you are. Yeah. That's just because of the way you play in the league, football. And I thought this is a chance for our club to get to the quarterfinal and possibly make about £1 million. I mean, for yourselves, you're probably thinking the same because although you haven't got your big draw, you're probably thinking we've still got a inkling of a chance here and a chance to make real big money. I mean, that £1 million to us is massive, but to a club your side, it'd probably pay for wages for years.
It would do. I mean, and, that's for me, like, obviously the results on the pitch are amazing. And, being at Ipswich, watching those goals go in was incredible. But for me as well, the most important thing is what's going to happen after this season with the money. For example, we have a 3G pitch at our stadium, so we need to get that relayed this summer. And that's going to cost about nearly £300,000. And at the start of the season, the club, the board were trying to think of ways how they could fundraise for that, not knowing that we'd have this amazing cup run that's already paid for that now. And yeah, and the rest of the money can just be put towards other improvements at the ground and players for next year. I mean, if we don't get back to the National League this year, then we're going to have the money to get the squad we need to do it next year. So yeah, it's going to do amazing things for the club.
There's a question from Wayne Vaughan. What's your average home attendance there then? Because we're going to be a big crowd tomorrow night.
Yes.
Over here. So what's your average home attendance?
Yeah, so the crowd we're taking to Coventry is actually larger than what our capacity is at home. So our average home attendance this season, I think, has probably just been above 2,000. So normally get about, 2,000 odd. I mean, kind of depends because a lot of our games have been postponed to midweek games. So naturally, you do get slightly lower attendance there. But the Saturday game, I mean, I think when we played Yeovil, I think that was over 3,000. When we played Tunbridge as well, that was 3,000 at home. So, about 2,100 odd. When Stevenage came down, that was a sellout. I think when Barrow were there, that was about 2,900. So, I'd say 2,100 is about average.
What's it cost to see home matches? Because I went to watch Leamington, and I think it was about 15 quid. It was a ticket. I was surprised, actually. I get a season ticket at Cov, and it cost me £17 a match. And I thought, wow, that's almost the cost of my ticket for a championship match. How much do you guys pay?
Yeah, so adult pays £17. So it's not that bad. I mean, it's probably one of the more expensive games in the National League South. I've been to a few away games and paying a bit less than that. But yeah, I mean, £17 is probably about right, I guess. It's a nice stadium. So
I've got one last question. Do you know the clown who fell out the stand at Ipswich?
Was it meant?
Because it looked like he rolled down there on purpose. That's what
I couldn't believe it because I was actually standing not too far away from that. I didn't see it when it happened, but yeah, I saw the videos online afterwards. I read the articles and I know who the person is. I know of him because he goes to pretty much every game. I think he's missed like three in his whole life or something. Not on a personal level, but I don't know. He's probably just drunk, and it is a bit weird there because there is nothing stopping you from tumbling over, unless apart from yourself. But it's one of them things. I don't think he was allowed back in after that, and thankfully no one was hurt. But that was hopefully nothing like. Well, at the CBS, it's different, isn't it? There's no tears.
Yeah. Ipswich is a proper old style ground. I was there early in the season when we played there, and it is proper old style, old traditional football ground. Where CBS, there's nothing like that in the CBS. You'll have a clear view and nobody had to fall anywhere. Hopefully.
Before we go any further, should we have a go at Guess the Stadium? We've not got it up yet.
Yeah, Guess the Stadium. We've been talking so long. We've got Guess the Stadium.
If you think you know what it is, don't say anything just yet.
There's two stadiums there. Get your answers in, please.
So what you think? Don't put them up on the screen. We'll come up with it in a minute.
Yeah.
They're virtually the same design, aren't they?
They are. Not much difference, is there?
No.
One curly roof at the top.
Anybody have any ideas?
Yeah, I know both.
I think one of them I do know.
It could be either of them.
Okay. We'll come back to that in a minute then, shall we? Shall we come back to that?
Yeah.
We'll get some score predictions first. Right, Alex, big day tomorrow, massive day for you. I'm sure you're leaving early in the morning to make the trip.
Today
off work?
Yeah, I've got a half day, so I mean, I'm going to probably leave about 12:30. So yeah, not too bad. Should get there hopefully for around 4.
You've got M25, M1, I suppose you'll come down, and M6. Give us a prediction then. How do you think they get on?
Well, I said the other week on Mark's show that I think a 1-0 to the Stones is my guess. I mean, you know, I think it's head and heart, right? It's head is saying, yeah, Coventry should win. I think we'll score either way, to be honest. I'm just going to go 1-0 Stones.
Yeah, okay. You're going to 1-0 win, and that'd be a big shock. Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe not after the way we played on Friday.
I was quite shocked to see that, actually. I've been tracking you for the past few weeks, and yeah, that came as a surprise.
That's only our second defeat in, like, what, 17, 18 games, isn't it, Claudia?
Yeah.
It's a bit of a shock when we do lose, especially like that. You get games like that throughout the season, don't you? No, you know, we had it last year as well against Stoke when we lost at home. Nobody expected it, but that's football for you. Okay, Claudio, what do you think?
I think we will concede, and I think we'll win about 3-1. I mean, really, we should win. I mean, even with the second string out, you know, I mean, it would be ridiculous. I mean, I know what Ipswich did. They made 10 changes, didn't they? It completely... I mean, that was the wrong decision, really. And I think they took Maidstone lightly. We can't do that because we can see what they can do. So we've got to be strong. And I'd like to think we can win 3-1. But it's Cobb City. We've lost to Kings Lynn in the past, Sutton, Wrexham.
Wrexham last year. We learned from that last year. We made too many changes, didn't we?
I think we've been beaten by 8 non-league clubs in our history, I think. So,
Maidstone are there for the ninth.
Well, there you go. It could be.
Do you think he'll make changes then? Because I know, you know, you played Friday.
Never played at all, did you, this weekend? Obviously, you're going.
We've got our game moved, so that's good.
I think he's going to be forced to because of injuries. So we now don't know. Because originally, we thought he's prioritising the Preston game because it was a league match. But when we saw the lineup, we weren't quite sure. So we're not sure what's going to happen now because obviously... A poor performance, bad result, and we had a couple of injuries. So anything could happen now. So we don't know. Don't know.
Yeah, anybody's guess about the team. We just don't know. But hopefully he'll put a team good enough to go and put a decent performance in, unlike Friday night. Vicky, what's your prediction?
That's it. I think that's the key thing, isn't it? We have to turn up and be professional. Because like Claudio said, on paper, we should be winning this game. We've got like players that are have experience and are earning way above anything that the Maidstone players can match at the moment. And so with no disrespect to Maidstone, because I watch them again. I mean, it's a weird situation. I've been rooting for Maidstone every other round because I like that. That's the magic of the cup, isn't it? So again,
we all like the dogs to win.
And then we got the draw, and that can't happen anymore. So we need to be professional. We need to take it seriously. But in that, if we do, I can't see anything other than a decent win. So probably 3-1, like Claudio said, I think.
Okay. Chris?
Yeah, I remember when I was in my local working men's club watching the draw, actually, and they had you boys on TV, and you could hear the groan when the draw come out. I was like, oh, they're cheekier. So I was like, well, I want to do them now. I definitely want to do them. But I like to think that's because they thought we might have to go to Hillsborough and not us. No, I'm happy that you've got where you have. And I sat and watched the Ipswich game, so I'm happy to see you beat them as well. But I love the FA Cup and I'm desperate for the quarterfinal. So I hope he puts a strong team out. I think he will. And I'm hoping for maybe a 3-1.
Yeah, 3-1. Okay. I think we're going to win. I think we're going to bounce back. There's going to be a lot of goals tomorrow, I think. And hopefully we'll be scoring them. I think we need a reaction after Friday night. A lot of people were disappointed in the performance because we're not expecting that sort of performance. We're not used to it. So I think Robbins will have them all geared up for this. So I'm going for a 4-1 win. I will give you a goal, Alex.
Yeah, you've all said a 1, so we're going to get one goal.
We normally concede, that's why.
We all support Cobb long enough to know that you're bound to get something at some point in the game. And make us worry for a bit. I'm sure that'll happen.
We've had a few messages in, haven't we, Claudio? Some scores?
Yeah, we got West Sky Blue. That says 4-2 to Cobb. Mostly Love of Music. 3-2 to Cov after extra time. Oh, no, don't want extra time. Carl Holly, 5-0, Cov, tomorrow night. Blimey. Stephen McGovern, 2-1 City. You can tell the optimists and the cautious, can't you, amongst our fans? Yeah. I love it. Assassins Unite, 4-3.
Cool, that'd be a good game.
Oh. Yeah. No, I didn't. I expected this from Mark. Mark Cunningham, 4-1 City to make up for Friday. I mean, the whole footballing world are going to want Maidstone to win, aren't they, basically, apart from Cov fans?
Yeah.
Will King, 3-1 Cov.
Oh, Will King's come back on. All right. Of course, it is penalties as well tomorrow. It's decided tomorrow, isn't it? There's no replays. You haven't got a second chance, Alex. You've got to do it first time round.
No, I think that's better, to be honest. Get it done on the night. No replays to worry about.
Yeah, Kenneth Thomas said, let's hope it's not one on penalties. Well, I hope not. And Wayne Vaughan says, top man, Alex, all the best apart from tomorrow.
Thanks.
and a safe journey, of course.
Yeah.
So,
I'm not on the way back home too late if it does go to extra time, because, I mean, it's going to finish at about half nine anyway, so...
Yeah, exactly. It's a bit of a long trip down. Well, you're down by Gillingham, aren't you? I've been to Gillingham on a midweek game, and that's just about the same sort of distance, isn't it?
Decent track.
I remember the old League One, League Two games went to Gillingham, and that's a bit of a trek, especially midweek when people have got work the next morning. But thanks for coming on, Alex. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And you're looking forward to tomorrow, and I wish you the best of luck for the rest of the season, obviously.
Yeah.
But hopefully your luck will run out tomorrow.
No, thank you for having me.
Do you want to do guess the stadium before you go?
Oh, go on. Yeah, go on, Alex. Do you know any of these stadiums?
Oh, God. So they're going to be two different stadiums. Well, one of them is Bolton, isn't it?
Which one's Bolton?
The one on the left.
On the left?
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know what the other one is.
Okay. Anyone else on the panel want to guess?
I thought one of them was Brighton.
It is Brighton, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's Bolton and Brighton. It's definitely Bolton because my daughter's up at the uni there, so I recognise that.
Okay.
Can I just be facetious and say it definitely is Bolton because the badge is on the picture?
Oh, is it? Well spotted. Yeah.
There we are.
Bolton and Brighton.
Brighton, yeah.
Tough Sheet Community Stadium. What a name for a ground. Dear.
Is it not the Macron anymore?
Well, it used to be the... what was it before? It was the
Reebok Stadium, yeah.
Yeah, and before that, Brendan Park, wasn't it? It's funny because my daughter is... Her digs around the corner from the old ground, which is a... I think it's an Aldi now, isn't it? Because you remember half the way end, half of it was the shop. When they redeveloped, they sold the car park, and I think they built the, I think it's an Aldi or Lidl, and so if you're in the away end, you had like a massive brick wall in the way. It's ridiculous. I don't know how they got away with it, but that's how we were treated.
Okay, well, look, Alex, thanks very much. We won't keep you any longer, and go and get ready for the big game tomorrow, and look forward to it. Hopefully, it's a good game of football, entertaining, and. May the best team win, as they say, and quarter final place up for grabs.
Indeed. Great. Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys.
Cheers, Alex. Good night. Okay.
Scott Dussamp, losing not an option. Cov to win 7-1. The thing is, we've put six past Oxford. And there's no reason not to. Ipswich could have been 4-0 up in 10 minutes, couldn't they, that game?
Oh, yeah. I watched that game, definitely, without a doubt, because their keeper had the time of his life. I mean, he had a brilliant game. Hopefully he don't have a game like that tomorrow, because he just saved everything. It was poor finishing from Ipswich, to be fair, but really, they should have been probably 4-0 up before they scored.
Yeah.
So
I think the thing is as well, like I think they underestimated it. They took it too lightly, and I don't think we'll do that because we've learned from that in the past, haven't we? And I think actually Friday night has done Maidstone no favours at all, because very rarely is there not a reaction in the Robins' teams when we've played that badly. So you'd expect them to be fired up on Monday. So actually, us playing so badly on Friday has probably made it even harder for Maidstone, really. And I'd be really surprised if we don't see a reaction.
And
a good result.
I just think what's holding me back from being confident is I worry about games like Wrexham, Worcester City, you know, the highlight. I obviously wasn't old enough to go, but obviously remembering Sutton, and you know, it's in our history to slip up against these type of teams, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the Sutton game, I think we were third in the table at the time.
We were quite high up.
That was a big shock. I mean, but as Cov fans, you kind of go, oh, yeah, typical us, isn't it? But it was a bit of a shock. And in recent years, we've not really done well in the FA Cup, have we, really? And this is a really, really big chance. And I think, for me, it's the most important game of the year this season. This game, you need to get into that quarter final. It'll drum up so much interest, and if you get a favourable draw, I mean, I'm hoping for a home draw. If you get through against someone like Bournemouth, Forest, anybody,
Blackburn,
you want a home draw. Then you're in the semi final. We're at Wembley. I mean,
you're one game away from a final.
It's massive. Yeah, and I think everybody at the club will know that. They're not daft. They know the score. And we've got an owner who wants to be successful. He's already said it. He's not there for the fun of it. He wants to get a result out of this project.
I think a massive reaction tomorrow night. I think you'll see.
Complete.
I mean, it'd be interesting to see what sort of team would you pick, Claudia. I mean, how many changes would you make?
I think Bidders comes in, doesn't he? To be honest, he'd come on after 20 minutes. I think if Mourinho had been the manager, he would have been on after 20 minutes. There would have been no. Yeah. I think Mark Robbins was being kind to him, leaving it till halftime. Bidwell, Kitchen's got to come in.
Yeah.
Midfield is a problem. You don't know who's
fit. How about the goalkeeper? Collins?
I don't think it matters, to be honest. I don't think there's much to choose between them, if I'm honest.
Mm.
I don't think that, because at times Collins can throw a wobbler, can't he?
Yeah.
And to be honest, we don't face many shots. I mean, but what worries me is with Ben, it seems like everything that goes on target seems to go in, whether it's his fault or not. It just seems really unlucky in that respect. Whereas Collins has made some really good saves in the last few games. You know, Middlesbrough away, even the last league game at home, he put in a couple of good blocks. So it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, I'm not.
Would you bring him to start him tomorrow?
I'd stick with Stevenson and Wright. I'll keep them on the pitch. O'Hare, obviously. Midfield's a problem. We'll have to play Josh Eccles. We'll have to play Latibodier. Is Torp fit enough? If he's fit enough, he starts, doesn't he?
Well, you know what? I'd be tempted to start Liam Kelly tomorrow.
There's that as well.
Yeah, I would as well. I'd play Kelly over Eccles. I would.
Yeah.
I think for me, like Claudio, I think there's not much to choose from the keeper. I'd love for him to throw like a right curveball at him and just pick more. You know, he's not had a game all season.
We all forget about him, don't we?
Yeah, yeah, just throw a right curveball at him and pick Simon Moore. Yeah, he weren't bad, not last season, the season before, to be fair. He went right off the boil, didn't he? But yeah, like Claudio, I'd stick with Sims and Wright. I don't know who you play instead of Saka.
About Tavares.
Yeah, I'd say Tavares starts. It'll either be him or Palmer needs to start, I reckon. In that position. O'Hare, you'd definitely start. He's got to. And then your defence, you've got to go strong, I think. You've got to have Kitchen, Thomas, because I reckon that partnership was working so well because they're so familiar with each other.
Yeah.
And you have De Silva and not De Silva, Bidwell and Milan. So that's how I'd go.
You got to remember we've got a game on Friday night as well against the Baggies.
I know. But I feel like some fans will go, especially the younger generation, will go, oh, well, it's just the Cup. It's not just the Cup at all. Tomorrow's important. To put tomorrow into perspective, I'll be 40 years old next year, and we've made the quarterfinals a grand total of 3 times in my lifetime. One of those years, we win the Cup.
Wow. You don't look that old.
Cheers. I don't get any fans praising my looks like Claudio.
Vicky, changes for you?
Yeah, I think probably pretty much what the guys have said. Bidwell's got to come in. I just think we're going to go as strong as possible. I think, like Claudio said, it's for me, it's the most important game of the season so far. We want playoffs and we want promotion, but that's not guaranteed. We don't want to throw away what is a real opportunity to push further forward in the Cup and make some real money and progress. And so for me, it's got to be the priority. So we go as strong as possible, take it seriously, and get the job done. And then
bring them off if need be.
Like if we sort of like 4 or 5 nil up, can then try a few of the fringe players, can't we, and get them some minutes. But I think we've got to start strong and start serious.
Which is what he did against Oxford, I think, isn't it, really?
Yeah. So comments from Mark Harrington. Robins will be focused on the Baggies game. Lose that and we could be 7 points adrift of the playoffs. It's a tough one for Robins. And this is South 76. Start strong, like Vicky said, as possible tomorrow night and then make changes depending on how the game goes. I think that's the way to do it. There's too many clubs where they gamble on, they take the risk of starting, leaving some big players off. And then 20 minutes to go, they're chucking on players in desperation to get the win, aren't they? I'd sooner get it done and dusty like we did against Oxford.
Well, that's against Wrexham, wasn't it? Like we took a gamble and then we threw players on and we nearly turned it round, didn't we?
But another 10 minutes, we would have probably won that game.
Yeah.
In our selections, none of us mentioned Casey Palmer, which is interesting.
No, they didn't actually. And he came on, didn't he, the other night?
Yeah, so that's another player. He may start on the right. He may put him out on the right.
What's working against Tavares is that he obviously started against Stoke and he was genuinely bad. He just really did not take his opportunity at all. I mean, with that said, I'm a bit advocate of you can't just throw a player in for one game after not playing all season, expect him to.
Although he didn't. To be fair, I went to Stoke. He didn't have much of the ball. We didn't play down that area much. So he didn't really see much of the ball, but you're right. He didn't take his opportunity.
We're playing a club who would probably play, who last season were in the same division, although they're North and Leamington are South. We'd play these in the pre-season friendly and expect to win. So we should beat them. I mean, Carl Holly, if we beat Maidstone, does our home game with Hull be changed a different date?
Yes.
And basically, if we win on tomorrow night, we probably won't get play another home game on a Saturday because of who we're playing against.
Oh, yeah, Leeds will probably get me.
Leeds, Hull, obviously. I mean, maybe not 3 o'clock. It could be a 12:30, but they'll be changing things around, won't they?
Yeah, they'll be moving them all over the shop, I think. Okay, before we wrap up, we've got any more comments? We've got quite a few comments, I think, to go through.
Ken Otomo, what about Godden playing, sitting back behind Sims and Wright? No. There's a bridge for the midfield.
I don't know, maybe. I don't know whether that would work or not. I mean, Godden does do a lot of work off the ball, doesn't he? But he just seems to have lost his pace a little bit, I think.
Well, that's probably down to not playing, Ken. Because when he comes on, he just looks a bit rusty, doesn't he? And off the pace, which is understandable, I think.
He came on against Oxford and proved a point, and he scored 2 goals.
Yeah, but against a League One team.
So. And tomorrow would probably be ideal for him then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, if he gets space, he normally scores.
Yeah.
But it's finding the space is the problem, I think.
I think he'll start him. I think he'll start Godden tomorrow. I really do. I've just got a funny feeling this to start Godden instead of Hadji won't play tomorrow. He'll be on the bench. And he'll start Godden, I think. That's about funny.
You think he'll go 2 up front?
Yeah. I've got a funny feeling he'll start Godden because Godden will probably do the business against that sort of team, like he did against Oxford. But obviously they're lower than Oxford, so he should in theory score or have qualifying chances against them. But it doesn't always work that way, does it? Like we know.
Yep.
So it all depends. We got any more comments?
Yes, we've got Mark Cunningham. Robbins will put out his strongest team out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And we're talking about keepers. Wayne Vaughan, I think we haven't yet got a number one keeper. They're out there. That wasn't me.
We're not going yet.
That wasn't me.
I don't know who that was. I'm just looking at the comments.
I think Wayne's right on that one, though. I think money needs to be spent on a keeper next summer.
Will King pick the best team? I think he will. I think he has to. I think he'll get the little note on the board at the door, like he's had every round, from King and say, Mark, we need some money. Pick the best team.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting anyway. We're all looking forward to it because we're all disappointed on Friday night, weren't we? You know, we've got to make sure we do the business on Monday night. It's going to be live on telly as well. There's going to be loads of, you know, should we say, other fans from other clubs rooting for Maidstone, obviously. So we're just going to go out there and do the business and prove them wrong, haven't we? That's what we're going to do.
For the TV people, it would be a disaster if we go into like a 3-goal lead early on.
Yeah, it will be.
Because we've all watched games, haven't we, where you're thinking, right, I want the non-league team to do well. And after 20 minutes, you're thinking, oh, I might as well go and watch something else now.
Yeah, they're 3 or 4 down.
But
yeah.
Somehow, I don't think it'll be like that.
Yeah, well, we've got to be on it from minute one. You can't afford to take off the gas. You've got to be on it from, you know, from minute one. Because they'll be up for it. They've got nothing to lose whatsoever. It's their game of their life, isn't it? They're going to play the game. All of them are going to play the game of their lives. So they're just going to be, they're going to be big crowd behind them as well. So we just got to make sure if we start making mistakes and giving the ball away, you know, our crowd get a bit funny sometimes, don't they? You know what they're like.
I think for me, going back to obviously Mark Harrington's comment about Robbins will need to prioritise the Baggies game, I think that's wrong. I don't agree with that point of view, because if we go out against the National League South side tomorrow night after that performance Friday night, what's the confidence of the lads going to be like going into that game on Friday? It's going to be in the toilet, and Robbins will know he can't have that. He's going to need a win tomorrow. A win in the first, hopefully a convincing one to boost the confidence back up after Friday.
Yeah. I know the ground was fairly empty with about 10 minutes to go, but I've got to say, I thought the support was pretty good, really, on Friday night, because at 3-0 down, there wasn't a lot of people walked out, where the Stoke match, virtually half the ground went, didn't they, last season?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was... the fair play to the fans for sticking by it, but I mean, I heard a lot of talk about the Singer's Corner bit, and you know, with the home fans sat there, it wasn't quite the same having the away fans too far away. But to be honest, when the opposition scores after 1 minute, that kind of kills the atmosphere a bit straight away, doesn't it? And then after 20 minutes, you're 2-0 down. So, you know, that was good to see, actually. I thought it wasn't too bad. Hopefully, tomorrow night, just get behind the lads, get in there early, in the ground early, and just get behind them.
Yeah, I mean, Will King's come back on. Confidence is belief. Right. Will. Let's hope so. And then Katie says we need to put on a show tomorrow night, response from Friday night. That's quite correct. Kenneth Thomas says, Will King, are you coming in Singer's Corner tomorrow? Well, I don't know. You never know. You might turn up there.
With the unclean? Well, only Chris is in there, isn't he? So.
Yeah.
Well, there's my point. There's my point, exactly.
I'm not actually in Singer's Corner. I'm just to the side.
I'll be right by the Maidstone fans in block two. Well, this end, the other end of the Maidstone fans. So they'll be in one of my ears all game. I'm sure they'll be loud.
It's only been this season where they've shifted the away fans over, because they used to be well over. So I don't understand this thing about the banter with the away fans. It's only been the last few games they've sat them near Singers Corner. Awesome, there's normally massive flags in the way. So I don't understand what the problem is.
Yeah. Wayne Vaughan's got a couple of last comments here before we go. Tuners, don't worry about a thing. Wes says they need to go out and put out and apologise for Friday performance. Strongest team and smash it. I agree. Will King said, yes, he will be in Singers Corner in the second half.
Oh.
Watch out for him. Guessagate, if you haven't done Guessagate, you can email us, guessagate@skyblufanstv.com with your guesses, and we'll pick them up from there if you haven't done so already on the message board. So it'll be interesting to see what sort of state you get.
I just had a message from David Saunders. That's Jack's daddy was on. Jack was on last week. He said, steady on, Claudio. Jack and I sit in Singer's Corner. Obviously, everybody who sits in Singer's Corner are perfectly fine and are a great bunch. Of course they are. Yeah. They're City fans. That's all that matters.
Now, before we go, we've got a couple of things just to remind you about. George and John, statue appeal. If you haven't donated already, donate now. And there's all the details. There's a bank account you need to send it to. They're still short of a bit of money, so you can get your money in as soon as possible. If you can, in a fiver, a couple of quid, whatever, that's the account number you need to send it to. All is appreciated. It's a great appeal, so it's all worthwhile to get Jordan John's statue done and dusted outside the ground. And just to remind you, we were talking about Jack last week. He was on, young Jack, who was on, the other Jack. He's doing a boxing thing at the Rialto on Friday the 16th of February. It's the same day we play Birmingham. So, well, at the moment it is, unless it gets moved. So if you want to sponsor him, or if you want to come and get some tickets, that's the details, how to get your tickets. It's ultratickets.co.uk. There you go. I think that's about it, Claudio, isn't it?
Yeah, just to say that in a few weeks, we'll be having a couple of Sky Blue heroes coming on separate shows, and they'll be talking about, their footballing career and music.
Can you see who they are at this stage?
No.
I was teasing you.
And also, sad as it is, I'm going to my very first Diamond lunch in March. I'm sitting in the house.
Is that over
65?
Is that?
No, you cheeky kid.
Oh, is it 60? Is it 65 or 65?
You've got to have supported the club for over 50 years.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was an age thing. No, okay.
So I've surpassed that. And Kev Monk's got me the details. Good old Kev. And so I signed my forms. I'm going to lunch in March. Looking forward to it, actually.
Well, I'm sure you'll see a few... legends there, no doubt.
I'll I'm going to probably have a word with Dave Kay and sit on the Mad Hatter's table, because I think they'll be going. So,
they'll be definitely there. Just to remind you, Legends Day, by the way, as nobody knows, it's been moved to the last game of the season against Queen's Park Rangers. I think that's the only game they can't move because it's the last game. They'll probably try and move it, but so that's now the Legends official Legends game, QPR, the last game of the season, the Legends Day. So that's when all the legends will be turning up on the pitch, etc. So it's all normally a good day. And I think you can book a meal and a table with a club and sit on one of the legends' tables. I'm not sure how much it is. You'll have to contact the commercial department. But it's quite a good day, Legends Day.
I usually go every year.
I'm
going this year, but I've been like the last three or four in a row. And they're brilliant. Great days.
Yeah, they are good. And all the old players, most of them will be there, a lot of them for a long time. And it's always nice to see the old faces turning up on Legends Day. So, that's another thing to look forward to. Anyway, that's about it. I think we're all going to get ready for tomorrow night. Football comes around quickly, doesn't it? The weekend,
I love it.
Friday, Monday, and then next Friday, West Brom. God, what more can we ask for? Tuesday after that, yeah. Yeah, it's all go. It's all go for the Sky Blues. Defeat on Friday can turn into victory on Monday, I think. Yeah. I think we're going to make up for it Monday. I think we're going to go out with a, you know, we're going to go out there and prove a point and get it, our place in the quarter of the FA Cup, which would be fantastic. And that the confidence alone for that should be amongst the fans and the players will be tremendous if we be able to do that. And then hopefully get a nice draw. I think the draw for the FA Cup next round is on Wednesday, I believe, after the other fixtures, because they're all midweek this week, aren't they? Next week. All the fixtures are midweek this week, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, okay. Thank you very much, Chris, for coming on. Appreciate it, as always.
Thanks very much for having me.
And you, Vicky. Thank you very much.
No worries.
And I might see you tomorrow night at the ground. Claudio, thank you very much, as always.
Hello. Yeah, cheers.
We'll be back with Miles on Thursday to preview the West Brom game and review, obviously, hopefully, us with a nice victory over Maidstone tomorrow night and have a look back at that. And I think we've got a West Brom fan on as well, haven't we, Claudio?
I think so, yeah. So subtitles will be available.
Yeah. So join Miles for that. That'll be live on Thursday. So that's it. We've all run out of time now. So thanks very much for joining us, everybody. Thanks for all the comments and the guesses. We'll get them all together and have a winner for you on Thursday. So we're going to leave you with a big Sky Blues. Play up, Sky Blues.
Play up, Sky Blues.
See you all on tomorrow night at CBS. Good night.
Sky Blue Fans TV, for the fans, by the fans.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Cheers, Kemp.